Welcome to the CFB Dynasty Podcast with hosts Matt Knowles, Brian McElfrish, and Doug Gravely.
Hey everybody, how you doing out there? It's time once again for the CFBDynasty.com College Fantasy Football Podcast. It's been a couple weeks, but we're back. My name is Matt Knowles, and these two dudes over here, Doug Gravely, Brian McElfrish. Doug, Brian, what have you guys been up to for the last couple of weeks preparing for this excellent show where we're going to talk about the top 10 that we think they think are going to be the top 10 running backs in the college football video game? How are you guys doing?
What's up, Matt? It's good to see you, man. So the last couple of weeks, you know, had a little work trip out to Colorado doing some meetings and whatnot. And then, of course, was at a field trip with a kid last Friday. Couldn't record and hit up the spring game. Checked out Mertz and Lagway and whatnot in the swamp. Had a good, here's a couple quick shots of Lila hanging out there in the swamp, like right before the players ran out.
I thought that was a great picture, man. I love seeing that picture on social media. That's awesome.
Yeah, we had a good time. It was great weather and had some fun just enjoying some football, getting all the feels. We, you know, hung out next to the band for a while, did our chomps and whatnot. We're getting ready.
So B-Mac, real quick, go back to that picture of your kids real quick. I got to ask you a question about your kids.
Yeah.
All right. So I've seen your kids on the soccer field, and your daughter is in it to win it. She is a little baller. Your son, he's out there having fun, not sure what game he's playing at some, you know, different times. That's on the soccer field. When you go out there to the football field, is it the same level of focus, or is he just ready to dig in?
So it's changed a bit since you saw him. Like he's picking it up a little bit. He's one that likes to know all the details. So, you know, he's one that, like, I've played the college football video game with him. We'll pull up. We started running a dynasty. And of course, like the third or fourth year, it got to the off season and it froze and the file was corrupted or whatever. So we didn't get to go too long, but like he's out there like learning the defenses, understanding what a 3-4 versus a 4-3 and how to read a linebacker on a slant pass and whatnot, judging man versus zone. Like in soccer, he's the same. He wants to know everything that's going on before he can really feel comfortable. He's picking it up, man. He's doing a lot better. But yeah, Lila, she's lost her aggressive edge a little bit, but working on getting it back for this week.
Man, get her in some training with Doug in the backyard, man. Doug, show her how to be a fullback, man. What's going on, Doug? What have you been up to for the last 2 weeks when we were not on the show?
No rest for the weary, dog. No rest for the weary. I've been working and working out, man. It's pretty much what I've been doing the last couple of weeks, going for a lot of runs.
And working on Devy rankings, too. We got those out. So we have the teaser rankings out. So at quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, if you navigate to rankings, Devy, boom, you'll see them there. We'll have Doug and I are working on this quite a bit in the last week. So we're not too far away from having the top 75 per position ready to go, maybe one weekend day. So we do, and you can join us, Matt. We're gonna try and golf Saturday, but we're gonna have like a college football Saturday where we watch all the spring game highlights that we can find on YouTube.
And be ready for a bunch of blank spots in the depth charts, y'all.
No, man. Yeah. Hey, we'll see if there's one of those Saturdays that I'm available. Who the heck knows? You know how Saturdays go. Luckily, the league your kids play on a Friday night, so you don't have to worry about that. But for
that's
me,
right.
Yeah. A couple weeks ago, I was down at the Spucala Festival in Tampa, Florida. I got to be hanging out with the celebs and doing all those panel things. I got to hang with Wayne Knight from Seinfeld and Jurassic Park, a lot of the people from Scream, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Bam Margera. It was wild. Tomorrow, I'm going to be in Clearwater, Clearwater Beach Comic Con. So it's going to be a wild time, man. It's going to be fun, but there's always got to be time for the CFBDynasty.com podcast.
Let's go.
All right. So real quick, before we get into what the show is actually about, we do want to give a quick shout out. So Team NSIM in our college March Madness poll, we were at the top of the lead. Either myself or Steph was in the top for the majority of it. We kind of fell off in the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8. But in the final, it was Steph Cannon from Team NSIM, Mike Dillingham, one of our longtime football and basketball buds. Whoever got the win in the final was going to take home the big pot. And Steph got the win, devastated Mike Dillingham, got the win out of 40 people. It was a great time. Hopefully next year we can get 100 in that thing. What do you think, B-Mac? You think we can get to 100 people in the thing next year?
Yeah, if we want to. Yeah, for sure. We can do that. I need to send that out a little bit earlier, promote it a little bit. But hey, the money has been sent.
And you know what? It was fun. So hopefully you guys will get on that. Hopefully you guys will get back in when we have the CFB Dynasty Open League, which is directly impacted by the stuff we're going to talk about today outside of the video game. B-Mac, first things first, before we get to the video game, let's talk about how the portal is affecting drafting in Dynasty Leagues.
Yeah, so for me, so in our league, it's a little different. We've talked about it before, but you only get 3 pickups during the season because there's so much out there, and obviously other regular redraft leagues, you're using that waiver wire every week. We can only use it 3 times. So those waiver wire pickups are as valuable as first round picks because you have all that live data. So for me, like seeing Penny Boone kind of take off last year for Toledo, I used to pick up on him. I think I drafted Marquez Cooper. They're both trying to portal up and unsuccessfully, seemingly. So I don't know where either of those guys are going to land, but it really affects in dynasty leagues how I'm going to draft. So to me, it really diminishes the smaller school guys because they're rentals at that point. Like if they're all the ones that ball out are the ones that are going to be, you know, most tempted to go up and test the waters in a bigger conference. But I'm going to be pretty much favoring talent over everything else in the early rounds. Then as it gets a little deeper and you spend a little bit less draft capital on someone like a Penny Boone or whatever, you know.
I think the biggest thing for me, if you look at, especially in our league, which has been going on now for quite a while, to echo your point about going for immediate impact, back in the day, and there's still some of that time, people are always like, who's going to be the next running back? In the day, it was who's going to be the next running back in Wisconsin? I might go get their incoming freshman running back and stash him for 2 years later, or the next quarterback or wide receiver at Alabama. And you'd see in the first round people that would be just digging deeply because of that limited number of player moves. Now I don't think that's the case. I think people are going for what's my 1 year rental that I can get this year that might do something. We do have the ability to drop some guys in the offseason if there's been some bad portal moves, things like that. But yeah, I think you have to go for guys that are going to give you an impact no matter what the school is right now. And it's tough. I mean, we were talking about before we got on, I'd like at some point to not have my entire team feel like it goes into the portal. Every year it's either everybody leaves early or everybody's in the portal. I mean, I've got Ashton Genty, who luckily for me, he's not going anywhere. But I think every quarterback on my team has been in the portal at some point. I've had guys that have gone to the portal and then been in school for 7-8 years. It's very difficult to plan for the future right now because you don't know what schools are going to be at. You don't know if guys are going to be like they were the number one receiver at their small school and you've got that guy and a number one at a big school. The next year, they're both on the same team. Doug, how's that impacted you? I mean, I know we talked about a lot on this show that you're newer to this, but you've been around long enough now to where you're a veteran. Even in just the time that you've been drafting, have you seen your strategy change because of how completely out of control the portal is now?
Yeah, especially in years like this. So this is my first kind of like rebuilding year. And it's kind of like what BMAC mentioned a little bit ago. I'm kind of looking more so at, you know, being okay with sitting on a guy for a year based off his talent than drafting a kid from Toledo that I think might produce this year and never do anything after that. So, you know, I'm looking at these kids that are, you know, great recruits, seem to have it all put together and just waiting for their moment.
Yeah, it's interesting. You're going to think of, like, in our home league, you know, RJ Harvey's still out there. Got him, or a Cam Coleman, who, you know, over time pop up to your NFL team. RJ Harvey will be great this year. What's he going to be after that? Probably nothing. Even if he was a sophomore, like, yeah, he could transfer to FSU and be, you know, in a sort of running back by committee kind of thing. So looking for longevity, looking for the dynasty, like how many years are you going to get out of a guy? Got to weigh talent a little bit heavier than before.
Yeah, and I think it really, especially in our league where we're going from college to pro, it makes you really have to think, do I want this guy for 1 year in college that may not do anything in the pros? Or is he somebody that maybe because of his new situation is going to be better in the pros because he gets a chance to shine like a Joe Burrow?
Right.
Where he got 1 year of being able to do something, or Jaden Daniels, who really came into his own last season. You never know. So every year it's interesting. You have to pivot and adjust and kind of figure it out. With that being said, BMAC, there is a lot of different things that have been updated on the website. There is a lot of different stuff that you and Doug have been working on. Are there things that between the two of you guys, you want to make sure to point out before we get deeper into the who we think the top 10 are going to be in the video game?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of these rankings, you know, they continue to change on the site. You know, as we update depth charts, things are changing. We had, you know, 5 or 10 or 20 changes this morning as I was going through the news. So let's go right into the news and notes. And there's more than what we'll talk about today, but we'll cover in the podcast the main things and as they're affecting CFF. But all these changes have been accounted for in the depth charts, in the rankings, and will continue to take place as we haven't gone over every spring game yet. So much more to come, and the changes are happening all the time. Let's do it.
News and notes around college football.
So let me start, because we got a Devy kicker alert here, and near and dear to my heart is the kickers. I hate leagues that don't have kickers. Towns Magoo, great name right off the bat. Auburn kicker kicked a 58-yard game winner and was approximately his 13th field goal of the game. He's second on the depth chart, though, to Alex McPherson. Or is he?
Oh, he is.
All right, let's go back and forth. Go for it, Doug.
All right, we briefly mentioned this earlier, you know, Cam Coleman, Robert Lewis, a transfer from Georgia State. They had excellent days at Auburn spring game. Cam Coleman looks like a man on a mission for sure. Made a couple great catches, video game style catches in that game. So that could be a fun offense to watch this year.
I feel like you want the next two, Matt.
If you want me to take them, I will. So NC State spring game, there was a lot of guys in the portal that went absolutely nuts. OSU wide receiver Noah Rogers had 6 receptions for 120 yards and a score in the first half. He's going to be a problem when you're putting him alongside of Concepcion out there. I'm looking forward to that. Tight end Justin Jolly, considered the number one tight end in the portal. Great spring and a big season to be one of the top tight ends off the board.
All that being said, like, your boy Grayson McCall there had like 2 incompletions, solid game. Watch out. And then week 2 this upcoming season, NC State, who do they play? Is it,
pull it up right now.
I'm going to race you.
You're gonna race me, huh? Let's see here.
Tennessee. That's week 2. Cannot wait. We'll get to see Nico and that crew take on Grayson McCall and that NC State offense, that is going to be a super, super fun matchup.
Big time, big time. Cannot wait for that.
All right, so at Alabama, Milroe had a really good game. You know, of course, super explosive on the run, but found his number one target likely. Jeremy Bernard, the transfer from Washington, just looks like their wide receiver one. That being said, Ryan Williams didn't play in the game. He'll be joining more in the summer and fall, and he'll definitely be an immediate impact type of player and a heavy, heavy Devy target there. Jam Miller ran the ball really well. Haynes, of course, ran it well and got a touchdown. And then Richard Young, we got to see a showing there. He played really well and had some really tough runs. I think he got into the end zone running through a few people there.
All right, then you got Trey Wilson at Florida. Solid spring game. Picked up right where he left off last year. He's going to be the focal point of the offense. And him and Graham Mertz, they just have a connection.
They do. They do. And if you're into college fantasy football, you love this kind of quote from Billy Napier. He said, "We're going to get our money's worth out of Trey Wilson this year."
And you know what? Nowadays you can say that in college football because the NIL is completely out of control.
That's right. And at Georgia, Dominic Lovett appears to have taken over wide receiver one. He was the Mizzou transfer. He was really good at Mizzou. And that's impactful. So you're, I think, absolutely worth drafting Dominic Lovett. And then you've got Miami transfer Colby Young, who looked incredible out there, catching, I think, a couple touchdowns, some acrobatic catches. They've got the size, the speed there with Lovett and Young on the outside, and then incredible slot play, amazing tight ends, great running backs, great O-line. Like, Georgia's just they're the odds-on favorite to, or best odds to make it to the playoff, and there's almost like no way they won't make it. Like, that offense is going to be great, and I like Beck to get it to Lovett and Young. They'll both be touchdown threats every time you get in the red zone.
And especially getting to the playoff that is in the BMAC format this year. His favorite thing ever, a 12-team format. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I mean, I will enjoy it. That's for sure. It wouldn't have been my choice. Over in LSU, and I'll let you take the next few there, Doug. In LSU, their O-line appears to be improved. However, it's hard to tell because their defense was really, really bad last year. So that's just what Brian Kelly wants to do, is kind of lean on the O-line and, you know, lean on that defense. But Caleb Jackson led the way at running back, 14 carries, 59 yards.
All right, so you got Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State. He's a man.
Yeah, that's all that needs to be said.
Pretty much what we need to say about that guy. Yeah, PSU freshman running back Quentin Martin Jr. So many good things that people are saying about him, and he just looks good in general. And then you got Utah wide receiver one Dorian Singer, 5 receptions, 92 yards. In the offense, just an added note with rising back, Keithy back, and now a potential solid number one receiver. Could be fun. Could be fun.
All right, so I'm going to sprint through these portalers real quick that affect CFF. Rashada hit the portal. Georgia sounds like the early leader there. Kind of unusual, but it's early, so we'll see. Devon Booth, Utah State starting running back. You know, I'm not going to adjust the depth charts just yet, because we'll see if they, you know,
they could come back.
Bounce back, yeah, to their school. So McCaskill, he's definitely going to leave Colorado, but, you know, he was incredible CFF asset a couple years ago. So depending on where he goes, that could be big. Rocket Sanders expects to be healthy for the fall. Cooper Legas transfer or hit the portal. Houston's losing a few guys. Let's see. Trevante Citizen and Henry Parrish hit the portal, so Miami's looking for a running back. And then, oh, Damian Martinez happens to be there. So we'll see how the 6 foot, 240 pound running back maybe goes to Miami. He already did an in-home visit, but he's got a few more lined up. We just know it won't be Tennessee. Last two, Lambert Smith from Penn State, and then sad news, Jalen Hale, who we thought could be great on the outside there, potentially this year at Alabama, expected to miss the season, or at least most of the season. That's all for news and notes.
Sounds good to me. All right, so now we're going to get to the main topic for the show today, who we think, they think, are going to be the top running backs in the College Football 25 video game. BMAC, Doug, let's talk about first where you can find this information on the CFBDynasty.com website and what criteria you guys used to put this article together.
Yeah, it's the most recent article. So if you go hover over news and articles, click on recent posts. It's the top one right now. So looking at the chart, which at the very bottom, you can see like our projected overall speed, acceleration, and awareness. Of course, there's strength and all these other things that the video game will have in there. But we are sticking with those main four. And as well, we have the projected fantasy points for the season, which really doesn't affect this at all. It's all about talent and how we'll have them rated based on the video game. So that'll be based on their previous production, how good they were as a recruit, and how they've kind of advanced their awareness, et cetera, since they've been in college. So you won't see any freshmen on the list.
All right, so before we get into the list, what do you guys think about? They've said there could be some issues with the game, with the way that it handles the portal itself, that it's going to be difficult for them to be able to have unlimited player movement, which is what we now have based on the lawsuits and the court rulings. How do you guys think that the game is going to be able to handle somebody from a smaller school or a group of five? Are they going to stay at their group of five, or do you think the game is going to be broken in a sense to where good players are always going to try to ascend up the line?
I don't know. I hope they have better logic in there than that. It's not a big deal to me, the portal, because I feel like the way it's constructed right now is temporary. I don't know how long it's going to last like this, but I know it's not feasible to last for the long haul. So as far as the video game goes, I'm not super worried about how they do the portal. I just don't want it to ruin, you know, recruiting and all that stuff. But or your experience in a small school, obviously, that would potentially suck. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get down to it. Let's get right into the list. So do you guys just want to go kind of right down the article? BMAC, are you going to pull the article up on the split screen there?
No, we're going to go straight up highlights, and we'll just talk through these guys one at a time. So let's go.
Doug, I'm going to let you take the lead in this since you guys put all the work into this. So why don't you start off with number 10, Justice Haynes. Tell us why he's on this list.
Oh, man, Justice Haynes. First of all, he's fun to watch. Glad the kid is going to get an opportunity at Alabama. He's just – when you watch his highlights, when you watch his video, his balance is exceptional. He runs with power. And he's just got so much raw talent. Stays on his feet through tackles, and he can power through the defenders at the same time. And in my mind, watching some of these highlights that you see while we're talking, kind of reminds you a little bit of a Pacheco-style runner, just – he does not want to be tackled, and he's going to fight for every inch that he can get.
Yeah, he's got some Mark Ingram into me. Maybe it's the number. Maybe it's the Alabama jersey that's doing it to me. But like, just like you said, his balance is incredible. Got good burst. We've got him projected at an 88, and he's a sophomore, so that's pretty high. But he came in really talented. And then obviously, you know, at Alabama. He's going to be running behind a great, great O-line. 94 speed, 94 acceleration with an 85 awareness metric. So we'll see how that compares or how that shakes out against Jam Miller, who's going to be more of the receiving back. But, you know, could certainly eat into the carries along with Milroe. So in terms of fantasy production, fantasy output this year, I don't really know. I like Justice Haynes a lot, though. So I've got him in as many leagues as I can get him in. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But Justice Haynes should be a future star. Definitely has some great NFL potential.
I'm sure Chattanooga fans are going to be super happy that you made sure to get a highlight up here. Shows them down 65 to 10 in a game. I'm sure they're going to thank you for making sure that that got into this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so moving on to number 9, DJ Giddens. Doug, tell us about this guy.
DJ Giddens, this is somebody that I know Brian and I have had many conversations about over the last probably 2 years, just – how good he is, you know, even through people transferring to Kansas State, he still finds a way to be the guy, come out on top.
Yeah. We were worried about Ward last year when he went there. And now he's gone.
Giddens was like, nope, this is my job, and you can't have it. And I feel like he just finds a way, and he will find the way on the video game to help you win football games.
yeah.
His acceleration is great. Like, he's got some of the fastest first 10 steps I've ever seen. Super shifty, and he's a strong runner. So
it's going to be hard to defend that offense. When you think about Avery Johnson and Giddens there, oof, that's going to be tough to defend. That especially – you know, we'll see how the read option is, how difficult that is. I know they're going to run that a ton.
Right. But
Giddens also just out of the backfield, his ability to catch and score from anywhere on the field. He's got great speed, and I think he'll be a top 10 rated
rusher. I was going to say, I think you're going to see improvement in his catching ability this year too with Avery Johnson, just because you have to take the short passes into account with this team, with those running backs, because – you're going to push up in the box to defend a running quarterback and Giddens, and it might leave stuff over the top of the linebackers for sure.
And if you want to talk about the respect that B-Mac and Doug have for DJ Giddens, even though he's number 9, if you look at the speed acceleration projections you guys have, his speed acceleration average is second highest period on the list. There's only one player who's not even the number one, but he's actually tied with the number one guy. I won't mention who that is just yet, but he's got the second highest average speed and acceleration combined, and he's at number 9. So that just shows you how much respect they have for this guy. All right, so let's keep moving forward. Number 8, B-Mac, I want you to say who this guy is, because I know you're going to be paying attention to him for all the wrong reasons this year. Who's at number 8?
Someone that... you know, I loved this guy so much. I've got him in so many leagues. This is my son's favorite player, Trevor Etienne. And then he burned the shirt. Now he's at Georgia and all that stuff. So Etienne, though, incredible vision. He's got excellent burst. Like, he gets to top speed quick. He's not the fastest, but he gets to top speed really well. You know, we're not going to rank pass protection in these rankings, but that can use some improvement. I'm sure he'll get some coaching on that at Georgia, and he'll be running behind a great O-line, obviously, at UGA. So Andrew Paul had a good spring and then hit the portal, so we'll see if that sticks or where he goes. Somebody was talking about, oh, Napier could do the funniest thing and get Paul to come to Florida. It's like a running back trade, but that can't happen in this portal. SEC on no SEC player can transfer to another SEC team in this portal, which is more of where it's going to go, where the major conferences kind of control the rules of the sport. But Etienne, he's got that potential to be a breakout. Like, he had whatever 900 and some yards I think last year. He could, you know, have 50% better production at Georgia this year if he gets the amount of carries. But he's also great at receiving as well.
All right, so let's move on. We're gonna go to a guy that has been stuck in an incredible deep backfield, but hopefully this is going to be the year that he's going to pop out. That is number 7, Nick Singleton from Penn State. Doug, why don't you take over on Nick Singleton? Why is he this high in the rankings?
Oh, man, he's fast. His acceleration is insane. Another running back that just, like BMAC was just mentioning, gets that top speed super quick. It's like as soon as he hits the hole, he's already at his, 100-yard dash speed. Like, he's fat. Like I said, fast, elusive. Man, and just in general, with that running back room, for not to get off track a little bit, but for potential to be even more than just a college guy, he doesn't get beat up because they have that 1-2 punch. He's just so good. And when he does get the ball, you're just waiting for him to have an 80-yard touchdown run.
Yeah.
I feel like at any moment that can happen.
Yeah, it was similar to when I was watching Florida and ETN got the ball. It was just different. You could just see it. Like, Singleton's the same way, where, just like you said, anytime he touches the ball, it could be a to-the-house scenario. But new offensive coordinator there this year, and really hoping they feature him a bit more. Because it's been a little bit odd. Like, you see the talent. Like, you can watch these highlights and see the talent. But in terms of the production, it has not been there for what we've expected from a fantasy point of view. So, will it change this year? We'll see, but I'm going to make him prove it. Like, we don't have him as high as other CFF analysts have Nick Singleton, even though I've got him and, hope that it happens. I need to see it really first to see what's going to change in this offense.
Now, one of the interesting things, too, because we're talking about the video game. In the video game, I think awareness for a running back might be something that, especially if you're going to play with that specific character, might not be something that you need to worry about as much unless they're running pass routes.
Right.
If you take that out of the equation, Nick Singleton is the player that has got the highest projected speed and acceleration average of all the players. So if you want to pick the best running back to probably play with, looking at speed and acceleration only, Nick Singleton is the number one guy for speed and acceleration average in the projected rankings from CFB Dynasty.
Yeah, and obviously we didn't touch on strength, with which Catron Allen is his counterpart there, would have a better strength and would be better to use around the goal line. But yeah, overall, I'm always about trying to find those recruits that have great speed and acceleration, because then it's kind of on you, on the sticks, to make things happen at that point.
For sure.
All right, so now to number 6 at Texas, Sed Baxter. Doug, why?
I think just the main reason for him is his just all-around talent in general, and it's going to show in his average across the board in all the video game rankings. I think he's just so good at multiple things. Like, he's not necessarily one that's gonna beat you in a 40-yard dash, but he's not the slowest either. So but I just think all around talent, where it comes to, one of the plays I love to run in video games is the screen pass, for example. And Texas used him in that a lot, and he showed his ability to take a what looked like he's getting tackled 1 yard behind the line and turned it into a 15-yard gain. Even just on his basic runs, he does the same thing. And Texas has a great offensive line for him to run behind. So you got to think there's going to be many opportunities for big gains in a video game when you have holes that just open up for you.
Yeah, that's a good point, because their O-line was still pretty young last year. They're going to be better this year, I think, along the line of scrimmage. And they weren't, bad last year. So I love Cedric Baxter. Uncle Joe was wanting Laporta from me, of course, in our C2C home league. But I sent him an offer. I was like, all right, let's go. And he was also talking to me about Bowers. I said, all right, straight up, Baxter and I'll give you Bowers, but no go for Joe. So
you watch these highlights, and you hope that the video game is similar in the sense of, like I was mentioning, the screen passes, and you see two or three offensive linemen running all the way downfield to block for this guy. Like,
yeah, sometimes
you hope that transitions into the video game. You know what I mean? Like the real life transitions, because that would make it just even more fun. You turn that screen pass into a touchdown and you're like, okay, it worked. But yeah, I mean, he's just a great talented running back in general.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. So number five, a guy that finally broke out of a crowded backfield last year to become a stud, Omarion Hampton from North Carolina.
What a breakout, man. So walk me through real quick, Matt, how you felt, because I was like, wanted him really badly when he came out as a freshman. I didn't get him. You ended up getting him. And then it was like two years ago, I was like, oh, whatever. And then last year goes berserk.
I can tell you, Omarion Hampton, I picked him up early as a freshman, and he proceeded to not do squat diddly for my fantasy team for his entire freshman year, so much so that in the offseason last year, I was like, do I want to keep holding on to him? I mean, I actually had the thought that didn't stay there for very long because of all the news that was out there. But I'm like, can I afford to have a guy that performed the way that he did as a freshman for an entire other year? Glad that I didn't listen to that one little tiny, you know, Devil Doug voice that was on my shoulder saying, get rid of this guy. Because once he finally jumped out and became the man, he really, really became the man last year.
Yeah, more of a power back. He's got great vision, patient runner. Not the fastest again, but he will run some people over. Also has good hands. I like Hampton a lot. He finished what, RB2 or 1 in CFF this past year?
He was right up there, at least in the top three.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you go down to the rankings and you look at what you guys have projected, his numbers that we have up here are a little interesting, because he's got one of the lowest for the top 10 speed and acceleration and even awareness combined numbers. So when you look at that, more than likely you guys are believing, because he's a power back, he's got strength, he's got other things,
no doubt,
that have made that overall rise to where he's at.
Yeah, you'd be flicking up that right thumbstick, truck stick there, for sure, with Hampton.
He's probably one of the most fun guys to watch. I can't wait to see him just go completely obliterate a defensive back, put him on the injured list for 5 weeks in the game, because he's probably one of the scariest guys helmet to helmet.
We got another truck stick guy coming up here, but he's also got some smooth jukes and great hands as well. But a new team.
So this is interesting, because we're going to go to Quinshon Judkins. In fantasy football, you might not take him at number four, but Doug, tell us why he's at four, even though he's in a backfield with a ton of competition.
Okay, so Judkins has shown what he can do to me. Is he a little bit of a ball hog? They say yes, but when you're that talented, you kind of want the ball in your hands. And yes, he's not afraid of contact either. He will run you over. He'll run into you. The highlight we just watched was insane, where he got bumped 4 yards backwards and turned it into a 16-yard run. That was kind of ridiculous. But, you know, another one, great hands out of the backfield. He's just a trusty back. Not the fastest guy,
no,
for sure. Not the fastest guy. You can see him getting run down a lot. But, I mean, I would be perfectly fine with a running back that gets me 20 yards and gets run down. Whatever. It's fine. I don't.
Yeah.
His awareness level, I think, helps him stand apart. Like, and he's just a good back. And we talk about the competition at Ohio State. Man, again, we'll talk about another guy, but a 50-50 kind of thing for that running back room could be great, especially with, you know, injuries and things of that nature. But Judkins is just That you want on your team, I think.
I'll just throw number three up there now, because just imagine running. You got Travion Henderson we have at number three, five-star recruit. He's got all the power, good balance.
Better speed than Judkins.
Yeah, better speed than Judkins. And, you know, both of those guys are NFL guys. If you want to go classic Big Ten style and just ground and pound and have the number one defense in the country because you're eating up the clock with Judkins and Henderson, Ohio State's your team. But they'll be, you know, incredible out of the backfield. They've got great wide receivers, obviously, too. They continue to just crank out NFL receivers. So, man, what an interesting offense to kind of see how that's all going to be pieced together. Yeah, in fantasy, there really just might not be enough balls to go around. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't think it's going to be like that Stroud offense where you've got, you know, multiple receivers, you know, whether it's, you know, going back to Olave and Garrett Wilson, and then you go to Smith and Jigba, Harrison, et cetera, like with the likelihood that Will Howard takes over at quarterback, he might be the only super fantasy valuable Buckeye this year. But in terms of being able to start him week in, week out.
And I think that it's a really big thing to note that you've already said, BMAC, is that fantasy football wise versus the game, when you've got two guys at number three and number four, and potentially the two of the top four running backs at the same squad, you know, in the game, if one of your guys gets injured, it's not like you're going to have a big drop off to say who, you know, the next running back is at one of the smaller schools. A group of five schools not going to have two guys overall 95 there. But at Ohio State, you pick them. One of your guys gets hurt. One of your guys isn't performing. You know, you've got a guy that's just as equal to him there. That doesn't work out for fantasy football. You don't want to be starting both of those guys on your fantasy team. But in the video game, that could be a huge quality control thing to make sure you always have a stud running back if you're playing with Ohio State.
And they'll both be in the top five of our Devy rankings as well, because they're both going to be in the NFL soon.
And getting hurt could be likely with one of these guys. So,
all right, up at number two, one of my favorite guys in college football, period, Ollie Gordon from Oklahoma State. Tell us why Ollie Gordon has got the highest awareness ranking in the entire game projected. Why is he here, guys?
Man, I think his awareness is complemented by his fearlessness, honestly. The highlight you just showed, you know, super patient. He'll find the hole, but he's not afraid to run at one guy as opposed to trying to bust through the hole. You know what I mean? So he's super aware that if I go left, I might have to run through three defensive linemen. I'm just going to challenge this guy one-on-one to the right and see if he can stop me. He's just, to me, he can spot the openings. Another one that is utilized out of the backfield in the passing game too. I was watching these highlights when we were putting this post together, and he just always seems to find the right spot on the field to be, to have the chance to get the ball. So I just think he's great. And even more so than the video game, somebody, honestly, I would love to have on my fantasy team, because he's going to produce too.
One of the things I love about Ollie Gordon is you look at him compared to all the other running backs that we've shown so far. He just looks huge. He looks intimidating. He doesn't look as fast because he's so tall, but he just looks like somebody that if you're a defensive back, you're going to think twice, do I really want to get in the way of this guy? Because he just looks like he could completely obliterate you when contact's made.
But you look at, like I said, some of these videos, and it looks like corners are kind of, oh man, I took a bad angle, my bad, you know. Let me try to tackle him with one hand so I don't get trucked,
right?
All right, and so now we're going to go to the number one guy, which should be, based on the other conversations we've had so far, should not be a surprise who's at number one. But I do think that there is a lot of discussion that we can have about why he's here and should he be here. Ashton Gentry from Boise State. Doug, BMAC, tell us why he's here.
So, I mean, his production obviously is off the charts. So his awareness is going to be really high in the video game. you know, it is certainly debatable. And I think about that too, him compared to like a Trey Henderson, who was a five-star kid and Genty wasn't. But Genty is going to have somewhere up there around a 99 awareness. And he's got great acceleration. And maybe not the best speed, but as far as running backs go, production wise, he's been around. He's coming back for one more year at Boise. I think he's going to be the best back in the game.
Yeah. The main word I can use for him, honestly, is he's clutch, man. Like, I think he's probably going to I think we've seen like 7 highlights at this point now. His jumping ability is probably going to be insane.
but he'll have a triple-digit ranking in jumping.
But, I mean, he's just – yeah, his awareness is amazing. And I think his juking ability in the game is going to be great. He's just – he's going to be good. His elusiveness level, which is another thing the game tracks, is going to be really high as well.
It'll be interesting. You know, if it was truly like the what we think they think is, like maybe Genty wouldn't be number one because they tend to underrate small school guys. But yeah, I mean, I feel like if you put him on whatever, Florida or somewhere else or Georgia, yeah, he's still going to be ultra productive in those offenses.
Yeah, we talked about the talent or the transfer portal earlier and, you know, things changing for different players. I don't think it would change depending where this guy went.
Right.
Yeah, one of the things about him too is that you could say, okay, well, is he going to be if you're playing with Genty, is he going to be the most productive guy you could choose? Because just because he's got a high ranking, that doesn't mean that the offensive line is going to be as high as you would have at an Ohio State or Alabama. Then again, Boise State is not going to be playing the same schedule that those guys are. Boise State's going to be playing a bunch of Mountain West teams that probably have got very weak defenses, or defenses are going to give up a ton of points. So you may end up having some of the, that give and take, that trade-off there. Might have a weaker team around him, but the schedule is going to be a little bit weaker. If you put him on the Boise State team playing in the SEC, might not have the same kind of results.
Yeah, so far in his career, I mean, he's already got over 2,000 yards rushing, over 20 rushing touchdowns, over 700 receiving yards too, and 5 more through the air. Like, Genty's, he's in everything back, the feature of the offense.
All right, so good stuff. So that is where our top 10 are for the game. Just to reiterate, Justice Haynes from Alabama at 10, DJ Giddens, Kansas State at 9, Trevor Etienne, not a Florida, now at Georgia, Nick Singleton from Penn State at 7, Sed Baxter from Texas at 6, Omarion Hampton from North Carolina at 5, Quinshon Judkins at 4 from Ohio State, Travion Henderson from Ohio State at 3, Ali Gordon at 2, Ashton Genty from Boise State at 1. It'll be very interesting to see when the game comes out and you pull these 10 guys up, what they actually have them ranked to start compared to what CFB Dynasty does. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, for sure. And just a few months away now. The game release date came out, I think,
July 19th or
19th of July, yeah. So that'll be a fun day. There won't be a podcast that day unless we've already recorded it. Won't be any work for me that day either, probably. This is a throwback to childhood. It's as much as it gets for me. What we've got coming up, we've got wide receivers next, and then we'll get into at least one full show or multiple shows on Devy, another mock draft coming, and mock draft is going to come multiple here really soon. We need to crank a few of those out. And then if you have ideas or questions or any of that stuff, feel free to find us on the Discord, throw it in the podcast channel, and we will make sure to get them to you. Subscriptions, likes, all that stuff matters a ton. So we really appreciate the comments, et cetera, that we get on YouTube.
Absolutely. And you know what? We're going to do something a little different today than we normally would. Normally, all of us would tell you somebody that we think should be in that top 10 that the game might rank a little bit lower. We want you guys in the comments when you see this, let us know who you think we've left out, not who you think is the best running back, who you think are guys that are going to be in the top 10 as far as the game is concerned that might be left off the list. We want to hear your opinions. We think this could be fun. Give us who you think that we missed so we could go back and take another look. Maybe that might be the thing that gets them on the list.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for that. We need to do that. I take full responsibility for being bad at reaching out and talking more. But we get a lot of work done. A lot more to come on the rankings. Devi stuff to launch soon, and then Dynasty after that.
All right, well, good stuff. So, Doug, you got anything you want to talk about real quick before we get the heck out of here for the day?
And all I can say, gentlemen, is there's less than a week till the NFL draft, and I feel like football is officially back. So I can't wait. I can't wait to hear where, you know, some of our followers, players have gone if they're in the college to pro league like us. I can't wait to see where our players go. I think this could be a really fun draft for a lot of our teams. I know me, I've got like 8 guys in the draft this year. It's just going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch. I can't wait. I know it's kind of like our beginning phase of our league. So it's exciting, and I'm ready.
Yeah.
Ready for this to roll.
The only update for me, Matt, is there are spring games to watch this weekend. So there's Louisville tonight. A bunch of other games tonight, like lower small schools. You've got Ohio, Tulane, et cetera, on Saturday, along with Iowa State, Michigan, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, Illinois, Texas, USC, Oregon State, UNC, Colorado State, FSU, Oklahoma, Boise, Western Kentucky. Tons and tons of news and updates to come, and portalers, I'm sure. So as the news flows in, we'll pass it along, but also be updating rankings, et cetera, along the way. And it's harder than ever. But
did you say Oregon State's got their game coming up?
3:00 on the Pac-12 network, if that is still a thing.
I can't wait to hear how Oregon State approaches the scandal that basically came from Damian Martinez, where Damian Martinez was absolutely and completely committed to the school. Then he felt like he was wronged by the NIL collective and he didn't get certain payments that were promised. And that's why he's in the portal. That's the era that we're in right now, where people can talk about that my school, my collective didn't get me the money, so now I'm the heck out of here. It's crazy. It's crazy. It'd be interesting to hear how that all went down. Is there any truth behind it? I think we could also look back real quick. Revisionist history. Somebody like Reggie Bush. Is our Reggie Bush potentially ever going to get his Heisman back? Because if these rules were in place then, Reggie Bush should be free and clear.
He should get his freaking Heisman back. That's so stupid.
Agreed. So I will tell you guys, one of the spring games I'm looking forward to the most is Michigan State spring game, with all the changes in the offseason.
Aiden Childs,
man. That's a spring game that I would definitely love to find on TV or ESPN Plus or whoever's showing it, because that could be fun.
Yeah, that's a good one for sure. There's a ton that I look forward to. So we'll see how those go. Again, we will update everyone and keep you guys in the know.
All right, sounds good. On behalf of Doug Dynasty, Brian McKelfrish, and myself, Matt Knowles, we thank you guys for once again watching and listening to the CFBDynasty.com podcast. We'll be back next time with who they think are going to be the top wide receivers in the College Football 25 game. Thanks a lot, everybody. See you next time.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the CFB Dynasty podcast. Help us out by subscribing on YouTube and reviewing us on your podcast network.